Welcome back, everyone. Episode 70 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And we want to remind you that we're doing a competition right now where if you go on iTunes and leave a review with your Twitter handle, we are selecting a winner every single week to receive an autographed copy of Kids Deserve It.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve a chat on Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central Standard, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard. This week, we got another great guest, but first, we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
I'm Todd Nesloni, Elementary School Principal in Navasota, Texas, and I am so thrilled and honored for our guest this week, Melissa Green. Melissa, thank you so much for being with us this week.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
We want to also remind our viewers to participate in social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt, as we always like to see kind of what you're gaining from the episodes, whether you are watching them live or listening later on iTunes.
So, Melissa, we have a few questions for you. So, for those who don't know about you, tell us about yourself.
Well, I am first, almost 38 years old. I'm a mom of two pretty amazing and wonderful and demanding kids. I've got an almost 11-year-old son named Hutch and a almost 8-year-old daughter named Haven. I have done a couple things in my 38 years. I used to be a part of a Christian music group, and I did that professionally for 7 years. And then I've also worked at a church now for the past 8 years. I'm a pastor on staff there. And then I also am a part of a prison outreach called Timothy's Gift.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, I got to say, you know, Melissa, I met you for the first time and heard of you as a member of the American Music Award and Dove Award winning group Avalon. I got to admit, I've always been a huge fan. Got to go meet you actually backstage. I have a picture of when I was front row at one of the concerts for Avalon. But can you tell us a little bit about your time with that group and kind of how that grew you and what that experience was like?
Oh, it was an amazing almost 7 years. So I joined Avalon in 2002. They had already been together as a group. They started in 96, actually. And so this was about 6 years later, and they were looking for a new soprano. And I happened to know Jody from a prior engagement. And so he called and asked me to come audition. And I was like, I would love to. And so they hired me, and I moved my husband and I to Nashville and into a whole new world, and just spent the next 6.5 years touring. I mean, I had my son basically in the midst of those traveling years. And so he grew up on a tour bus. We did 150 concerts a year and made records and just had an amazing time. So it was a lovely time to get to travel the world and get to know a lot of different people and be able to encourage people in the process. So I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. So you mentioned the nonprofit, Timothy's Gift. Can you tell us some more about that?
Yeah, so Timothy's Gift is an innovative outreach to both inmates and staff. It was started by my friend and coworker, Ron Miller. And he had befriended an inmate, sort of a happenstance that he got to know him and got to know a lot about what life was like behind bars in this maximum security prison, and decided he wanted to do something different to serve these men and women. So he started by taking in like a workshops, like a walk through the Bible and a personality workshop. And then he asked me the summer of 14, I believe it was, maybe 13. He said, I have this idea to take a concert down to these men and women during the Christmas season. And I said, I'm game, let's do it. So we went, and that very first tour was life-changing, not only for the individuals who saw it, but for those of us involved. So now we've been in over 127 prisons in Florida, Arkansas, Tennessee, and now Ohio.
Nice.
I love that. You know, as an elementary principal, we have a prison about right up the road from where our school is. And we have a lot of kids that have parents that are incarcerated and things like that. And so I love hearing about, you know, these outreach programs that are really trying to reach these inmates and often these people that are so often put off to the side or not viewed in the same light. And so I love that there are organizations like Timothy's Gift that are really seeking to make a difference in those lives as well.
Yes.
So what was school like for you growing up?
School, I love school. I went to public school all my life. So elementary, middle, and high school, went to public school and was involved in arts and extracurricular things. And I have certain teachers that stood out to me, and I still, even thanks to Facebook, keep in touch with today.
That's awesome that they've made that much of an impact that you're still keeping in touch with some of them.
So yeah, you talked about Go ahead.
I'll just say my middle school choir teacher, she was probably one of the first ones that made a huge impression on me, and I'm thankful to get to call her friend now.
So like That's you said, cool. you've done quite a bit in your 38 years, Melissa. Like, what's something that you're really, really proud of that you've accomplished?
I mean, honestly, the prison outreach. It's the most life-giving thing that I'm a part of and that I have done, even after being on tons of really large stages all over the world and had amazing opportunities traveling with Avalon. But for me to take the message of hope and worth and light to, as you said earlier, these men and women who are overlooked and outcast by society, and for me to be able to go in and remind them of their inherent worth and the idea that they are beloved of God, it is a gift that really can't be matched. So that's my most favorite thing that I've ever done.
Nice. Now remind me again, how long have you been involved with Timothy's Gift?
4 years.
Oh, wow. So I'm sure you've been a part of a lot of great experiences with that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, what is one thing that you are really working on growing in this year?
For me, because I am a leader and I'm surrounded by a lot of other leaders, I happen to work with a lot of influencers often. I'm constantly watching the strengths and weaknesses of others and letting those be a mirror to me to be able to pay attention to my strengths and weaknesses. I've recently, in the last couple of years, studied a lot of the Enneagram, which is a sort of like a personality assessments. It talks a lot about motivations. And so there's numbers 1 through 9, and I happen to be an 8 on the Enneagram. And every number has its strengths and its weaknesses. There's moments of health and unhealth. And so as an 8, I can be bold and strong and fight for justice. And I can also take up all the energy in the room without realizing it. And so I have to pay attention to those things. And I have a lot of amazing people around me that are accountability friends and partners that speak into my life. And I've learned to start listening.
Nice. I love that. So who is someone that's made a really big impact in your life, Melissa?
Honestly, my husband, he's a huge influence to me. He's worked in nonprofit spaces for most of his career, and watching how he constantly gives of himself and chooses to be passionate about something more than just success and money at the end of the day, but able to affect lives. He's a source of constant strength and encouragement and challenge for me. So
nice. Love that.
So, you know, Melissa, we all have those days that we just don't want to get out of bed, or it's just been a rough time going on. What do you kind of do when you have those days to kind of kick your butt into gear and still get up and show up?
That's a good question. Typically for me, I need to sit, get away from my kids or my family, or after I take them to school, and sort of sit and have a space of sort of prayer and contemplation and meditation and a refocusing, and remind myself of who I am and ultimately what I feel called to do in this life. And that's to be a part of alleviating suffering decreasing suffering and adding joy to people's lives. And so I have to remind myself sort of my own personal mission. And that mission statement is constantly what drives me. And so for me, it's just taking time away, getting still, lighting a candle, and focusing and breathing for a moment and reminding me what I'm called to do.
I love that. Well, Adam, before you get to the last question, yeah, I have another side question. Are you planning on recording or releasing any more music anytime soon?
There's not an official plan for that. Music has always, though, remained a part of my life. And so right. In the church that I'm part of and that I lead, we constantly, I mean, music is a huge part of the community. Music is a huge part of what Timothy's Gift has become. And so I think it'll always be a part of my life. But as far as recording a record and being an artist again, that's not my priority. But I know some people want. So I'm trying to find a way to sneak that in.
Because I gotta say, you know, I love your Next Step album, and love listening to it and the music of the songs. And I don't know if you remember or not, but when I was still in the classroom teaching, my students had done this project of a way that they wanted to change the world, something they wanted to do that they thought would make an impact on others. And we made a little video, and we would use your song Imagine in class sometimes. And yep. we were talking about digital literacy and being able to ask people for advice to use things. And I remember they were like, well, tweet her, because we would tweet all the time. And we tweeted you and asking you permission if we could use your song over the kids. And you had said yes.
Yep.
And the kids like freaked out that you had responded to us and that you allowed us to use your music. And so it's so wild that would even be on your radar. But I just want to tell you in person, thank you for letting us get to do something like that, because that made a really big impact on the kids, but also on me. So
I'm so glad. No, it's my honor.
Well, we have wanted to write like a Kids Deserve It rap song. So maybe you could venture into a different genre and help us with a Kids Deserve It rap song. If you know Todd wants to rap and you write I don't know, we could figure something out. That would be fun.
We'll work on that.
All right. All right, Melissa. Every week we'd like our guest to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
I think my challenge for the viewers is something that I've had to learn in going to prison when I'm facing these men specifically who have seemingly done really hard, horrible things. My challenge has always been for myself to see them in their best light. And I think that's my challenge for educators as well. When you're facing a kid that is a tough situation or an annoying kid or someone who's constantly making mistakes, yes, we're there to correct them and to try to obviously educate them. But I wonder what it would be like if you would put them in their best light and see them in their goodness and their beauty and be able to call that forth out of them. So that's my challenge to you.
I think that is a wonderful challenge, especially at this point in the school year, just still being able to keep that mindset. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for being a guest on our show. It's such an honor to have you on. And so I appreciate you making us some time in your schedule.
Of course, I'm so glad it worked out.
We want to thank our viewers as well for listening and watching. We encourage you to go on iTunes and leave a review as we select a winner every Friday for an autographed book set. Make sure you join our Twitter chat on Wednesdays. And our next week guest is going to be ABC 13 Houston meteorologist Travis Herzog. So we'll see everybody next week.